Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
If invoices are piling up, like they have to be done somewhere, you end up working nights to do that. You end up working nights to catch up. And if you're working nights and weekends, that's, you know, because the fires are burning, like something is raging so brightly.
Growing a trades business can be tough. You finally got work coming in, you're taking on more techs, but something is holding you back and you just can't seem to get ahead.
Ease the bottleneck in advance rather than waiting until all of the rework is happening and your customers are hating you because your team aren't managed properly and all of the projects are going to sh**. You don't want to wait to that point.
Tune into this episode where we talk about the most important hire you'll ever make and the mindset that helps winners grow.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. I'm your host today, Phil Smith, and we are here with our Director of Coaching, the illustrious Cam Hill. Great to have you here today, Cam.
Happy to be here, mate. Excited to be in the studio.
Yeah, man. Great to have you here. Obviously, Cam is the absolute genius behind our entire coaching program. Totally amazing bloke as well. You do look very handsome as well today, Cam.
Thanks, man. I trim my beard for you.
Thanks, man. I'm really glad that you know, made the effort. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
We're actually talking about the most important hire that you can make in your trades business. It's the illustrious office admin or office manager. Look, it's one of those roles that is honestly fraught with fear, trepidation. There's lots of thoughts and beliefs that go in behind making the investment. We want to dig into the fear that sits behind it, the mindset of this and how this plays out and how it plays out into future investments as well, but also digging into what you can do, how it's going to benefit you. Really excited to get into this one, man.
Yeah, man. I've got a story to kick us off. So this one's one that we use with the clients all the time. It's a great story. It's more of an analogy, really. I want you to think about the Empire State Building. So, you know, imagine you're trying to build that bad boy. You know, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of time. Now, I want you to compare that to, let's say, you're building, you know, a house in the suburbs. Now, if I'm going to build the Empire State Building, I'm going to have to make a lot of work into the foundations, right? Like, I got to dig a bloody great hole. I've got to fill it with a lot of foundations. You know, this thing's going to be serious because I've got a big-ass building going on top. On the other hand, if I'm building that house in the suburbs, you know, I've just got to put down a 6-inch slab. We're good to go. Now, I think one of the big problems for people building a trades business is that we're essentially trying to build that Empire State Building, or at least our version of it, but the problem is we're building it on a 6-inch slab. We just haven't done the foundations. We don't have the infrastructure behind what we're trying to build to actually make it last and make it work. And so today I think what we're really trying to talk about is getting those right roles in place, and in particular that first big hire in the office on, you know, off the tools, and you know, the fear that comes around that, because if we can get over that, we start actually building a proper foundation to continue to grow our business, which is the goal. So should be juicy.
Excited for this one, man. Yeah, it's so important to set yourself up right. Otherwise, you're leaning over, it's on the piss, and nobody wants a business that's the height of the Empire State Building crumbling down, right?
No, absolutely not. It'd be a bit of a disaster. So, I mean, obviously, if we don't get the right roles in place, but most importantly, we're talking about the office manager, you know, that really key office role that's going to, you know, help you get past the initial hurdle of actually starting to build a team in the office. If we don't get that in place, we run into some big problems.
Yeah, look, the first one that stands out to me is, and this might be obvious, but overcapacity off the tools. So if you think about everything that's going on in your trades business, you got invoicing to do, you got calls that are coming in, you've got suppliers that are hounding you, you got bills to be paid, you got stationery to be ordered, emails coming in, there's lots of stuff going on. And when you're creating your business and you've got one or two guys on the tools, maybe three, if you're beyond that, please reality check, keep listening. But you know, when you're at that point, it starts to get to enough jobs are happening where, you know, if your focus is on the tools, running the projects, helping the guys, making the sales, like,
pricing,
you're wearing all of those hats. There's invoices piling up, there's customers calling in and they're not being answered and you're probably not returning the calls. Suppliers might be hounding you because you don't have the funds because you're not managing everything well, or you're just forgetting about it and now they're having to call you to follow up. You know, people aren't being attended to, the guys on site might be neglected. It's just, you know, there's too much happening for you in your business. That's the first big problem that stands out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Things start slipping through the cracks. You can only do so many things at once. And like you said, I think definitely in the early days areas of our business, we're wearing every hat. Obviously, as we grow, you know, we start to get rid of some of these hats to other people. But reason why this is such a crucial hire is it's really that first hat that you get to take off, which actually removes a lot off your plate. So I think that's huge, man. What's next?
Next one is you got to think about the reality of it. So if you are spending a lot of time wearing all these hats and spreading yourself so thin, that the work has to still be done, right? Like you actually do have to get the invoices out. And people listening today, I'm sure, if you're in this space right now where you've got two or three guys on the tools and you don't have this role, you're probably going, yeah, that's me. But you're probably working late nights, after hours. You're probably working in the weekends. And the reason why you do that is because you feel like your customers are ignored, or they're feeling like they're ignored. If you're not returning their phone calls, like that's really on you. And I know that reputation is really important. If invoices are piling up, like they have to be done somewhere, you know, you end up working nights to do that. You end up working nights to catch up. And if you're working nights and weekends, that's, you know, because the fires are burning, like something is raging so brightly that you're having to go and spend all of your attention there. And look, the worry with that is if you're spending nights and weekends, you're not hanging out with your kids. You're not doing the hobbies that you want to do. If you want to play sport, you're probably not putting your time into that. You're not sitting down and doing the homework with the young fella. You're probably not at practice. You're probably not at their games. You're probably not having a date night or committing to it with your other half.
Probably not eating well, probably not sleeping well.
Yeah, exactly.
Not resting.
Yeah, and that stuff, like, that keeps you up at night. That stuff makes you worry through the day as well about those relationships. So,
if you don't have the capacity in the office, then, you know, all of this stuff still needs to be done. And we do have a lot of people that will come to us and they say, oh, no, I only work 40 hours a week in the field. And then I'll be like, yeah, but obviously I do a bit of work every night. Saturday morning, I'm sitting at the computer and getting this stuff done. And, you know, but it's not really work. It's just me cleaning up all the loose ends. But I'm like, well, hey, man, that is still work. You're working. You're just doing that entire office role after hours, which is not ideal because you miss out on a lot. So what's the next problem?
Next one is the feeling of overwhelm. Most people have been there one state or another. You can feel really overwhelmed by this. Like, honestly, this actually drags into falling out of love for your business. If you are spending 70 hours a week because you don't have this capacity and you're not, like, why do you set up a business? You do it for freedom. You do it for the cash coming in. But ultimately, it's so you can live the life that you want to live, right? You want to spend the time with your family, the time with your friends, the time doing stuff that you love. And if it's working against you or you're feeling like it's working against you, you can really fall out of love with this really quickly. And then you can go into Monday and not want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, for that matter.
Yeah.
And what does this lead to ultimately, man?
Dude, it's costing you money. Like, this is really hitting the bank account. Like, you are stuck because you can't grow past that point, and it's lost revenue. It's obviously lost profit at the end of the day. You're not sending invoices out. The cash isn't coming in for the work that you've done as well. So it really just hits the bottom line. It hits your bank account. And it goes back to what we were talking about before. Like, when you don't have money in the bank account, you're up at night at 3 a.m., you're overwhelmed, you're out of love with your business. So
the problems really compound.
It's pretty disastrous.
Yeah, man, big time. Whereas on the other hand, you know, if we get this office role sorted, get someone in there and actually create some capacity, big upside.
Yeah, man, massive. Look, invoices out on time. Every call that's coming into the office is answered. Great customer experience. That's leads captured. That's bills paid on time. Look, if all of that's happening, you're getting a better sleep. You're doing your hobbies. You're spending time with your family, your friends. You're at the sports games. Straight up, you're not stuck anymore. Like, this is giving you the capacity to grow through where you're at, that's more excited about business. If you got money coming in, if you got everything under control, like, you'd love to show up on that Monday or the Tuesday or Wednesday, right? And all of the stable revenue, the profit coming in, honestly, at the end of the day, sure, you invested in that overhead, but you made the profit back and some, right?
I think this is really important because, you know, you can see that each one of these actually feeds into the next. And I think, again, like, I think a good place to start with this discussion would be, what are the big reasons that you see that people don't actually get help in the office? Because I think there will still be people listening saying, hey, all these upsides sound great. I am experiencing some of these problems, but... And I think that but is really what this all hangs on. So, like, what's the biggest reasons that you see that people don't actually, you know, go ahead and get the help they need?
The first most common one is, I can't afford it.
What would you say to that?
You can't afford not to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Should we explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the reason why you're saying that you can't afford it is because of all of the problems we just talked about. The The reason for it is because you don't have the money in your bank account. But the reason for that is because, one, the clients that are calling in wanting to work with you aren't actually being attended to, so you're losing those jobs, because if you don't get back to them, they'll just go to somebody else. If you do the work for them, then, and the invoice doesn't go out, then they won't pay it. And so there's this big lag effect in between when you take the call, you pay the guys, you pay for the materials, and you get the money into your bank account. And you're living in this large cash gap. If people aren't paying you, there's no one following up on debts. And so, one, the revenue isn't coming in. Two, when you actually generate the revenue, the cash isn't coming in. So no wonder you feel like you can't afford it. That makes a lot of sense. But when you get somebody in to do this sort of stuff for you, it's improving your revenue, improving your cash collection. Like, that's the thing that's going to make you afford that person and a hell of a lot more.
Well, not to mention, I mean, even just if you think about the amount of inquiries you need to respond to, well, if you get to them faster, if you get, you know, if you actually get to them all, you respond to more of them, and you respond to them quicker, you convert more of them, you get more jobs, you get more jobs, you get more revenue, you get more revenue, you get the same gross profit, hopefully, if you're pricing for profit. You know, and that pays for the extra overhead as well, and allows you to take on more tradesmen as well, so that you can actually boost that revenue, you can take on more work. And so I think a lot of the time there is that fear around the overhead, because we say, well, I've got to take on some more overhead, some more fixed costs, you know, there's going to be the expense of paying this person. But having that person allows you to actually do a lot more in your business, to get more jobs done, make sure that they're all invoiced. You're not looking at every new job, every new project as, well, then I'd have to take on more tradesmen, there'd be so much more to do and I can't keep up, I already can't keep up. Instead, you're like, well, I can keep up now, so I can chase those extra jobs, I can take on more tradesmen, because every extra person, every extra job is not an extra headache, you know. So yeah, and as a result, like, you actually pay for the person very easily and some, because you create that base. So that's huge. What would be another big reason people don't hire?
I don't know what they'll do.
Oh yeah, that's big.
And that comes up. Look, it's second to I can't afford them, but it does come up quite frequently. Look, the thing is, at the end of the day, is there's a really good chance that you won't have a perfectly laid out JD with exactly what they're going to do and when, and know how long each task is going to do. Fine. But there's so much more than what you think. Do you want me to rattle off some random stuff just to start to get the brain going?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Look, the they can do payroll for you. They can do invoicing for you. They can answer the phone. They can return phone calls. They can follow up on invoices. They can reconcile invoices. They can pay bills and suppliers. They can get your vehicle regos done, your warrant of fitness if you're in New Zealand. They can check job management software data. They can follow up on your guys to make sure they've done their time cards, their photos, their notes, their materials logging, and there's so much.
Yeah, they can do your back costing. I mean, they can really do anything you want them to do.
If you teach them, right?
Yeah, if you teach them. In fact, one thing we find all the time is that, you know, you might think that there's 10, 15 tasks they need to do regularly, and you hire the person, they come in, and then they actually broaden your horizons, open your mind to all the stuff that you really should be doing that you're not. And very quickly, they actually, they prove to you that actually they knew better than you what they should do. Because likely you hired someone with experience in that field. So they'll notice all the stuff that you're not doing. So I think that's really, really important. What would be another reason why people don't hire in this role?
I don't know. One that comes to my mind is, when's the right time? Like, I don't know what the right time is.
Well, let's pick that apart, because I think understanding the signals is a big thing, right? Like, and this is true of any, you know, office-based role, any off-the-tools, you know, role that you hire, is I think often people wait too long, which would be, for me, that's the third big problem, right, is that people wait too long. So you might even know you've got them, you've gotten over the cost, you've gotten over the fact that they probably know better than you what they're going to do, but you're like, oh, but when, right? So what are the signals for this role?
One thing that I would like to put out there is that once you have our guy to max, like, you really need to do this, and I know that's just, you know, that might not be the signal, but you really need to. Like, if you're getting to three guys or four guys, you're actually in that realm of too late that you were talking about. Think about when you were at this point, if you're past this point, or what's going on right now. You're wearing all of the hats if you don't have an office admin or an office manager. So if you are spreading your time to all of the stuff that I just talked about, the payroll, invoicing, all that sort of stuff, and you're on the tools, you're getting jobs in, you're marketing, you're selling, you are managing the guys, like, it's ridiculous to be task switching to all those different things and actually be effective. A signal of it is, how much time are you spending working in your business per week? And when I say in your business, I mean the hours on site, the 40 that you were talking about before, and the hours at home, or if you stay late or you start early or you work on the weekends, like, how much time are you actually spending? If it's more than 40, that's a great indicator, because it's not manageable forever to be doing 50, 60, 70 hours a week, because when you show up for your team member or the client, you're probably tired. You're probably not paying that much attention. You think you might be, but you're probably not. And so you're less effective. Like, that is a good indicator. So how much time are you spending? The other ones are money. like the money indicator. I just always look at time and money. And it's like, if you aren't returning the phone calls, that's going to turn into lack of revenue. If your invoicing is sitting there piling up, that means the
lack of cash flow,
lack of cash, you know, or people aren't actually paying when you've sent the invoice, lack of cash. Those time and money indicators are really important. You don't have it on lock anymore. You don't have it all under control. And so those are your signals to get on top of this now.
Yeah, I think that's massive. I think a big thing with the timing as well is that people will often equate the amount of time that they're spending outside of what they would call their normal week. So for example, I'm working 40 hours a week, you know, on the tools, I'm out in the field that 40 hours, and I put in some time at night and in the weekends, and all up that comes to about 20 hours that's spent doing office work. And I might say, well, look, it's only 20 hours. So hiring someone who's full time, you know, I'm going to hire them for, say, 40 hours a week. There's only 20 hours of stuff to do. I think what I would say to that is no, you're only doing 20 hours of it, but there'll be more. There will be more that you're just actually not getting to, not doing, not being timely enough with, that you don't even know about. And so just firstly, there'll be more. Secondly, is when you hire someone for 40 hours a week, they're actually not going to do 40 hours of work. I mean, by the time someone uses the bathroom a couple of times a day, eats, has a coffee, you know, has a walk around the block, has a 5-minute scroll on Facebook, you know, all of those kinds of things, attends one or two meetings with you, because you'll need some meeting rhythms, obviously, with this person so that, you know, you're across what needs to be done. By the time all of that happens, 40 hours becomes 28 pretty quick. And so the thing is, if you're doing 20 hours of work, actual work, outside of your normal hours, then trust me, like, that's pretty much a full-time employee. It's just that you used the bathroom and ate and walked around the block and stuff during the day. And then this person, you know, obviously would do that during the day as well. So I think the thing is don't equate the amount of hours that you're working in the nights and the weekends to the total amount of hours that this person needs to be employed for. It will not be the same. So if you're putting in a few hours every night, trust me, there's a full-time role in here.
Absolutely.
That's the first thing to understand. And I think everyone holds on too long. Like, yeah, rule of thumb, if you're at the point where you're like, man, I really, really need this role, I'm starting to feel burnt out or experiencing any of these problems that we talked about earlier, like working nights and weekends, feeling like you're over capacity, things slipping through the cracks, feeling out of love with your business. If you're feeling all that stuff, you're already past the point where you should have hired this person. So yeah, get on and do it. So I think definitely understand those signals is huge. So where do we start? Because I think, again, if we're looking at actually hiring this role, hopefully we've done a good job of convincing you to do it if you haven't already done this. Where do we start? Because obviously there is that going to be that nagging question. What do they do? How do I know how to put this together? How do I tell them what to do?
Yeah, look, I obviously went through and rattled off a bunch of things that they could do before, but we often talk about this tool called task analysis. And really what you're doing there is exclude all of your on-tools work and just look at every single thing, task, not function, but task that needs to be done in the office. And when you do this yourself, think about everything that you do and then think about everything that isn't being done or isn't being done right, whatever. And if you just look at those categories and just write down anything that comes to mind, take half an hour and just sit there with a pen and a piece of paper and your computer and a spreadsheet or a Word document, whatever, and just write down every single task and include all of the things that you do. If you are doing the social media posts on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, like, write that down. If you are doing answering the phone calls right now, write that down. If there's something that's not happening that you know needs to happen because you've heard it somewhere else, you've listened to it on this podcast, whatever it is, like, write that down as well. And you'll end up having a big list of tasks that need to happen off the tools. And when you're at this point and you're hiring this first person, what is the stuff that could be delegated to them? So maybe it's the things that have the lowest value. We often talk about the $20 an hour tasks. And all we're saying with that is you as the business owner should be focusing on the most important things that need to happen that move the needle the furthest in your business and delegate the stuff that has lower value, lower impact, or that, honestly, the shit that you hate.
Yeah. Well, any of it, right? Like, so I think often we go to the stuff which seems low value first, but some stuff actually is high value. Like, if you're chasing up debtors, that's a very high value task, but you might hate doing it. So cool, like, you can give that to them too. Now, obviously, there might be some stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense to go to them. Like, if you said, hey, I want my office manager to price all my work, you're my office admin, that might not work. I mean, it could. We've seen it work before. But, you know, like, it might not work. It's a bit more of a specialized skill. But the reality is if you could get somebody to do the more admin side of stuff that you're currently doing, if they're organizing all the vehicle registrations, all the maintenance on the vehicles, if they're the one who's pushing the Google reviews from your clients, if they're following up the debts, if they're paying the bills, if they're paying payroll, you know, if they're organizing your calendars, if they're, you know, et cetera, et cetera. If they're doing all of that, well, then could you price more work? Because you're not spending time on that. Well, you could. Well, if you price more work, would you win more work? Well, you would, just by law of average. And if you won more work, could you take on more guys to get that work done? Well, then you could. Well, cool. So you could grow your business if you weren't wasting time doing all this stuff that this office admin could do. And so I think, again, it's quite a general role. There's a lot of stuff that they could do here. And I think you'll find you'll fill that very quickly. So when you do that task analysis, it's what's all the stuff that you do that isn't in the field, isn't on the tools? Write it all down and just circle as much of it as that you possibly can that either you don't want to do or it's a lower value task. Group it all together and try to hire that person, because often, you know, a lot of it's actually quite simple. It just takes time. And so having somebody who can come in and actually, you know, spend time on that is going to create a lot of capacity in your business. So great place to start, man. What do you talk, you know, we talked earlier about not trying to get it perfect before we hire. So obviously part of that's the job description, but you know, what about, you know, training? Obviously one thing I hear, oh, I wouldn't know how to train them or how to make them do stuff. What I need to make an admin manual if I need this, but I need to have that before they start so they know how to do everything.
That's the trap. I want to have everything perfect. I want to have all of my systems made up so that they can come in and they're ready to go. Here's the reality. Likelihood is you're going to hire somebody who's been an office administrator or office manager in the past at a different place of work, right? Now, they will actually have more experience doing this stuff than you. They probably care a lot more about it than you do. I'm sure you're sitting here going, I really want this stuff off my plate. I just can't afford it, or whatever excuse that or reason that we talked about before. And like, I know you feel that, but this person is going to love that type of work. That's what they do. That's what they're applying for. They've got experience with it, and they'll actually make a lot of the stuff that you've got better. Now, when we talk about this with clients all the time, one of the easiest ways to like kickstart this is as you start to get them into your business. So you've gone through the process of hiring them, they've started, sit down with them and teach them what you do. So for example, if you're teaching them how to do an invoice, talk them through it. But while you're talking them through it, film what you're doing with Loom. Like Loom is just like a video software that records you, screen recording software. You can talk it through. They can hear it. The process is just talked through.
Yeah, so it records your screen as you do a computer-based function, but it also has your face just down in the corner and also records your voice while you're talking. So you're explaining what you're doing while you do it on the computer. It records the whole thing and all of your narration. And obviously spits that out into a video at the end. So you know, as you're going through your processes, you'll be able to say, hey, this is how I do this. You record it once. They can now watch that video every time they do it until they're proficient. That's pretty much the easiest way. Most likely, that person's going to watch you do it and go, why do you do it that way? That sucks. You should do this instead. And probably improve your process, in which case you're like, cool, well, why don't you show me and ask me any questions along the way that if you get stuck, and we'll record you and make that the process, because they could do it better. I remember at boot camp recently, you know, one of the events we run with our clients, and one of our clients, John, you know, from Jam, and he was talking about batch payments, do you remember? And he was saying his accounting software he's going through, and he's going through with his admin, you know, making all these individual payments, and she's like, why don't you just batch pay it? And he's like, oh my gosh, like, brain how much explosion. Time save. But again, perfect example, right? It's like they'll probably watch you know, do something, and then they'll probably actually have a lot of improvement immediately, because they do, like you said, they do the stuff every day. This is their job. This is their profession. So they're often, you know, really going to level up all your processes immediately, which is great. So I think big point there is don't try to get it perfect before you hire. You don't need to have all these systems created. You just create them as you go. With the person, because they'll probably do a better job of creating them than you will.
Yeah, and every single thing along the way, like they can take all of these videos recorded, checklists made from the conversations that you have and put them into that manual. And now they've got this one place where they can go back to, or anyone else in the future can go back to, and actually just take what you've made with them on the time when you're training them.
Yeah, I mean, the way I would do it is I'd get that task analysis to get my initial list of what I want them to do. Next to each thing, I just write, is this daily? Is this weekly? Monthly? Quarterly? How often is it? And then everything that's daily goes into a daily office checklist. Everything that's weekly goes into the weekly office checklist. Everything that's monthly is in the monthly office checklist, and so on. And then on day one, I just go through the daily office checklist and just do each task with them. Loom record it. They can improve it if they see improvements. Once in that week, you go through the weekly office checklist. Same process. Record it. You know, for the first month, go through the monthly. In the first quarter, you go through the quarterly. Most of the office admin manual is going to actually be made after day one, because most of it's daily tasks. By the end of week one, you've probably got 60% done. By the end of month one, you've got 80% done. And by the end of quarter one, you've actually pretty much finished your admin manual. And then obviously as they see other things that should be happening in the business that aren't, they'll add to that and it will get better and better. So it's funny how quickly, you know, this role can get up to speed as well and start to make a massive difference in your life. So I think that's huge. So where do we find these people?
Look, you gotta advertise for them. And like one thing that's cool here is if you've tried to hire a tradesman in the past, it might have felt like there wasn't many out there, they're scarce, whatever. There's lots of people who have office admin experience, like lots. Like without going into all of the detail, like what we do with our clients is we have a job ad template for them, and you just wanna like make it an appealing place to work and advertise that, like really write out why your place of work is a cool place to work and put it out as wide as you can. Don't just chuck it on one platform, chuck it on a few, put it on social media, like get the word spread wide. Like you need to interview them and check that they fit with the values of your company and they have the actual skills that you want them to come in with, because hey, awesome if they can use your job management software. There actually is a pretty good chance that you can find an admin that has experience with the job management software that you use or the accounting software that you use, whatever that may be, and maybe they've worked for a trades business. Like any of those things are actually great.
Yeah, this is actually a much more common role than I think people give credit for. And I think, again, a lot of people are going to be listening and thinking, yeah, but why would this person who's such a badass want to work for me? I'm just a small business. I'm like, actually, there's a lot to be gained from that, because if they're working in a bigger, more established business or maybe something more corporate, they'll be looking at this going, well, I'm just a number here. But if I come and work for you, you know, I can really help you build this thing. Like, that's exciting. Like, you actually have a lot to offer here. And it's going to be a massive pivotal point in the growth of your business. And they can be part of that and be there from the start. So it's actually a lot more attractive than I think we give credit for. And they have so much control and autonomy. So that's, again, really attractive to these people. But that everywhere, like and like you said earlier, if you've tried hiring before, maybe for tradesmen, technicians, and you found that really hard, well, can be difficult, right? Like good tradesmen are kind of like public toilets, they're full of crap or they're taken. So it's not like that with admin stuff. Like you really can find a great admin manager, office manager, you know, a lot easier, and they'll come with a lot of skills, and you know, obviously use your hiring process. So we teach our members a 11-step hiring process. Won't get into that today, there's obviously other episodes on that, but you know, if you hire right, find the right fit, find the right skill set, get them on board, they'll probably get up to speed really quick. And again, remember, this is probably going to be one of your right hand people. They'll be integral, so make sure you do all those culture checks and you know, hire properly and make sure this is someone that you actually want to work with, because you'll end up working a lot with them. So make sure they're the right person. Yeah, massive. I think one more thing I want to talk about is that, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about the office admin today. That's obviously the big role we're talking about. It's probably the most crucial hire. It happens quite early on in your business, right? So how do we see this same phenomenon showing up? Because actually one thing that we find is that exactly this same situation recycles and recycles. It's just with a different name. So do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So before I mentioned this term, the ceiling of complexity. So with the office admin, before you hire them, there's a bottleneck and you pretty much tap out in your growth. And so at that point, you're wearing all of the hats. There's too much that's happening off the tools and you can't get any further because you can't get any more calls in or actually get any more jobs done because you can't manage any more team members because you're trapped off the tools doing the invoicing and blah, blah, blah. You hire that person and it gives you capacity to grow because now you've got this person, this goldmine of a person that we've been talking about, handling all the inquiries, doing invoices, all the rest. And what ends up happening is you now have taken off a hat, but you're still wearing a couple of other hats. You are the sales hat. You are the team management hat. You might still be on the tools a little bit.
Pricing hat.
You know, you're wearing these hats and eventually you're going to get to this point where you've got a bunch of team members on the tools that you're in charge of. You're managing the projects and managing them. You're still pricing, you're still selling. And you get to another ceiling of complexity where you've got too many people on the tools to be able to manage them effectively. You're spinning too many plates and they're starting to wobble. Either the pricing's not being done because you're managing the team too much, or you're not managing the team enough and you're abdicating that because you're spending all of your time selling and pricing. And so you're at this ceiling again where
quality drops, rework goes up.
Yeah. And you're at that ceiling and effectively you're at another bottleneck and you need to solve that through another investment into your overheads. And that's an operations manager. And that is systematic. We've seen this so many times again and again. And you end up easing that bottleneck by getting their operations manager. And you get to another bottleneck soon, which is you've got too much pricing to do and you're doing the sale.
Well, now you've got that ops manager. You can take on more tradesmen, techs. So yeah, then you start getting more guys in the field. And then now this is all growing, but now you need to keep them busy, which means you need to do twice the pricing to actually win the amount of work to keep them busy. And now you're bottleneck there. That you need an estimator. Point that we're making is this continues, right? Like essentially it's a theory of constraint. Like every time you get a bit of growth, You grow for a bit and then you stagnate at that ceiling of complexity. It's a new ceiling every time for a different reason, but you know, same theme. Is that you reached a bottleneck, there's a ceiling of complexity, you need to ease that, and when you ease that, then you can once again grow. It more than pays for the role. It makes total sense. It frees your time up, your freedom up. It gives you, you know, the headspace. You fall back in love with your business, you stop hating it, stop working nights and weekends. It all kind of recycles. It's just an insert new job title here, but it continues and continues, and that actually never goes away. You know, it doesn't matter how big your business gets, how great your business gets, you know, there'll always be constraints that come up, and when they come up, you need to ease those, and you have all those same fears. You know, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to teach him what to do? Where will I find this person? You know, all of those kinds of things are going to come into your head. But when you solve that, you know, and you get over it and you just spend the money, get the person, you know, help them help you figure it out, then it just always seems to work. Like it's not really anything magic to it. It's just easing the constraint. And
you want to do it as early as possible too. Like obviously not when you've just hired the office manager, get the operations manager, but feel the need and scope the land. Like we were talking about understanding the signals before. These signals pop up in terms of, you know, enough pricing capacity or enough management capacity for the guys that are on the tools.
Marketing capacity, sales capacity.
Absolutely. And
same again.
We talk about the 80% rule, right? Hire at 80%. And that's a pretty good rule for this. If you can see that bottleneck is coming, that's a lot more effective to ease the bottleneck in advance rather than waiting until all of the rework is happening and your customers are hating you because your team aren't managed properly and all of the projects are going to shit. Like, yeah. You don't want to wait to that point.
Nah, definitely not. Got to get onto it. So I think we've covered some good stuff. Should we land this plane?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
All right, sweet. Well, hey, look, I think, you know, growing your business can be really, really tough. And what can be even more tough is coming up against a huge bottleneck, working your butt off, getting completely overwhelmed, working nights and weekends, and still not getting ahead. And the real key here is easing the constraint, thinking about who, not how, and taking on the right person that can actually get you propelled ahead. Essentially, build that nice big foundation so that you can keep building your Eiffel Tower. So go ahead. That first hire is obviously your office admin. If you haven't already done that, I'd say it's probably about time. If you have, then the thing is, think about that next constraint, solve that, same principle. So it's been awesome hanging out. We'll see you all again next time.
Cheers.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
As we head into Christmas, most people are looking forward to having a break and starting the new year feeling refreshed and invigorated. But for lots of us, when we get to the end of the Christmas holidays, we're just as stressed, worn out, and broken as we were at the start, and we start the new year on the back foot. Now, tune into this episode. We'll go through some processes to make sure you have a great holiday, you feel rejuvenated, and are ready for a cracking new year.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.